Welcome back to Radio Entrepreneurs. I'm Jonathan Friedman, today joined in the studio by our reporter, John Dustin. John, good to be with you.
Jonathan, great to be back.
It's always a pleasure to have you on the show and learn about great entrepreneur stories. And our next guest on Radio Entrepreneurs is Eric Edelman. Eric's with Peak Physical Therapy. How are you, Eric?
Great. How are you?
Wonderful. Thank you for coming on the show. You've got a physical therapy organization, I should say. You don't have a single location. Why don't you tell our listeners a little about your practice?
Sure. Peak Physical Therapy and Sports Performance. We've been around since 2008. I was a co-owner of a practice before then, and we opened up. I opened up Peak in 2008 with our original office in Norwell on the South Shore.
Congratulations. You're over the first five-year hump, and you're getting towards a 10-year hump.
So, hey, yeah. I guess that's
that's
good news.
That's an accomplishment in business.
Is that an accomplishment?
The first five, that's a great sign.
Good. Ask my wife. She may tell you differently.
Right. So tell us a little bit about, you've got multiple locations on the South Shore.
Yeah, we do. We have our first location, like I said, was in Norwell. Our second one was in Scituate. Then we expanded to Quincy. And our most recent, about a year ago now, is in Hanover.
Wonderful. So we talked a little bit before we came on the air about the range of services that you provide, and you're a little bit different than what one might consider in a typical outpatient physical therapy setting. So why don't you talk about what differentiates you guys a little bit?
Sure. I mean, not only do we consider ourselves top tier in the care that we provide, as well as the customer service experience that we provide, but we've really sought to be able to help out as many people in the communities we serve as possible. So within that, people are familiar with traditional physical therapy, and when people think of outpatient therapy, they think of back problems and shoulder problems and maybe sports injuries.
Typical orthopedics. And things that, middle age.
Exactly. Middle age. Everybody's
weekend
getting
warriors.
Injured. Exactly. And that and don't get me wrong, that's a still a huge part of our practice. But within physical therapy, people really aren't aware of all the different things that subspecialties that physical therapists can take care of. So within that, we have an aquatics program. So we have a pool therapy program. We rent pool time at three different facilities across the South Shore that are convenient to all of our land, we call land locations, to be able to provide that. So that's a wonderful program. It's a modality that helps a lot of our patients who need the water buoyancy for healing. It makes the recovery a lot quicker for certain conditions, and it allows us to treat certain patients that otherwise would
have
difficulty.
Don't have the mobility or can't sustain the pain threshold or things of that nature.
Exactly
the water
right.
Helps to
exactly.
Are those typically auto comp accidents, severe injuries, or are they?
You'd be surprised. So they could be a whole host of things. It could be anything from, a low back pain from, somebody was in the yard, raking, and, you get into the water and you're only 20% of your body weight now, so it's a lot easier to move, and get things done. Could be a severe car accident, where there's multiple body parts involved, so it's helpful to be in the water to be able to do lots of different activities there. Could be an older person with a balance problem. Who's at risk of falling or has already taken falls. So in the water, they're buoyant. They're not going to fall, and they can do a lot of strengthening activities that will translate to land to help them prevent falls. So it could be all over the map. It's really only limited to the creativity of the therapist, the plan that the therapist creates. But the vast majority of patients, within just a couple of we call contraindications where you can't get in the water, the vast majority can be helped with some sort of aquatic program.
So you touched on something that I find really interesting, the creativity of the therapist, and having experienced a fair amount of therapy over the years, I find that a lot of therapists sort of fall into this cookie cutter approach, and the modalities are the same and the approach is the same. Do you guys take a little bit of a different approach? Because, it's easy to say everybody's an individual and their cases are unique, but I think everybody is unique, especially when you're talking about spines. Not everyone reacts the same way, not everybody has the same threshold of pain, etc., all those types of things. And
yes.
And so, is that something that you encourage within the therapist? Is there a standard protocol, but beyond that, you can add things?
Absolutely. I mean, I think there's a lot of standards that you learn in school. The problem with, your education is that you're really only limited by, a certain degree of, what books, they taught you, and of course some of your clinical experience, but that's extremely limited. Where, the majority of your learning occurs is after your education. And I come from a background that was heavily manually therapy based, which means a lot of hands-on approach, kind of an osteopathic approach where you look at the body as a whole. whole. Lots of people say that, but it's one thing to say it, and it's another thing to do it, and to really find out where the source of the problem is, and to realize that everybody is an individual. So it's very important, and throughout all of our clinics, all of our therapists really use the same philosophy, where if somebody's got a back problem, well, guess what? We're looking at your ankle and your feet, too. We got to find out exactly where this problem is occurring, because if we don't fix the primary cause of it, obviously you're doomed to repeat, even if the injury, even if you do end up getting better in therapy. So yes, it is extremely important that we look at every patient as an individual. I believe physical therapy is a combination of art and science. I would argue that it's more art than it is even science. So the therapists have to be extremely creative and think out of the box and really treat the person as, you know, this whole person and not just, you know, stare at an elbow that's in pain and realize all the other dynamics that are involved in order to give somebody the best treatment. You can go to a clinic that will use a cookie cutter approach, and there'll be a percentage of people that will get better. They probably would have gotten better on their own, to be honest with you. I hate to say that, but that's probably true in many instances. But the ones that will get better quicker, will get better properly, will have better results, and a reduced chance of recidivism of coming back, are the ones who really paid attention and had a creative plan of care. Yeah.
This is interesting. So as an allied health professional coming out of school, did you realize your business model was going to be holistic and proactive as opposed to reactive, or did it just develop? How did you get that model to...
Completely developed. I'd say that it really developed out of my manual therapy training. So as I took more and more courses based on manual therapy, I started to realize that, okay, I learned in school and even the clinicals I took, I did internships in which we put a hot pack on somebody. We did a little massage. We did a little ultrasound, a couple of basic exercises and out the door. And it was the same thing for everybody. And I just thought that's kind of what you did, right? But it wasn't until I started getting some serious training that I started to realize, oh, that doesn't work. And, I started to think critically, and I started to realize that, all right, yeah, again, some people are getting better, but does it really have anything to do with me? And that's where I started to look, I started looking at it really carefully. So, no, I never would have thought that I would have gone in that direction. And I'm very pleased that I have, because not only do I think it's the right way, I think it's the direction our profession needs to continue to go in order to grow properly, but I like that I can have an impact on so many other therapists, of course, the ones within our clinics, to be able to teach them that and to show them how important that is. Then, of course, the thousands of patients we treat, I think, end up reaping the real benefits from it. So it's a win all around, and I would have never thought I would have gone this direction, but I'm very pleased that I did.
And it's improved the value of your business probably dramatically because of repeat customers and referrals. And Do you get a lot of referrals from other professionals, or are you typically finding people coming direct? Or?
Yeah, that's a good question. It's a mix. Probably about 40% or so directly from doctors, another 30 or so percent from other marketing efforts, and then about 30% from we call internal marketing, former patients, either bringing themselves back, family members, friends. So we have a very high percentage of repeat or, internal sort of marketing effort business in which, a lot of word of mouth from former patients. And my goal and mission is to continue to have that percentage grow. If I can, I'd rely as little on other people to drive my business. Meaning other outside professionals or whatnot. It's always good to network with them and get to know them and have close relationships. But ultimately, those things are fragile at best. We don't know where the healthcare system is going. We don't know who's going to be sending us our next patient. So to me, giving exceptional patient care is important. And I encourage what's called direct access. And I'm not sure if you guys are familiar with that, but direct access is a huge part of our kind of mission and campaign on educating the public on how to get the therapy.
So tell us a little bit about your approach towards the direct access.
Well, direct access is, I believe it's now, there's some version of it in all 50 states. If you go back 10, 20 years, there was, only a limited amount of states that had it. And essentially that means that a patient come directly to a physical therapist without seeing their doctor.
Okay.
So different states have different limitations on it. In the state of Massachusetts, a patient can come directly to a physical therapist without any encumbrances at all. The only issues are sometimes payment. So if insurance requires, say it's an HMO that requires a referral, then we have to educate the patient on how to get that that referral. And it's just really for payment purposes. It's not for anything legal or ethical or anything like that. And, you know, the vast majority of times, that's not a problem. It's, you know, oftentimes a call to the doctor's office and get that insurance referral through. But patients can, therapists are so highly trained, especially now. I mean, they're all becoming doctorate programs, that if we evaluate a patient and we see a red flag that we're concerned about that shouldn't be addressed with physical therapy at that point, we know enough to send them back to the doctor. So it saves, it increases their access to physical therapy. They get in sooner. All the studies show how much quicker an injury will get healed if you get treatment sooner versus waiting for a doctor, you know, waiting to get in to see your doctor. And you, not to slight any primary care doctors, but musculoskeletal injuries are not their area of expertise. Those are ours. Right. So they'll see the doctor. Maybe they'll get some medicine or whatnot, told to rest. And sometimes that works and sometimes it doesn't. So there's all this delay in care versus coming directly to a physical therapist. We're trained to say, hey, yeah, let's start therapy right away. Let's get it going. We'll get it taken care of quickly. Or in those, and they're pretty rare, you know, occasions, say, you know what, I think you need to get to the doctor first. You may either need this x-rayed, or we think, you know, there's something, you know, even more serious going on, underlying cancer causing the pain. You know, it could be odd things like that. But we're trained to look out for those red flags. And so we send them back as needed.
So that's interesting. I'm not sure that most consumers know that that's available in Massachusetts.
They have no idea.
People have the sort of image that HMOs, you know, their PCP becomes a gatekeeper.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think it prevents, in some cases, a burden to the PCP to say, you know, do I really need to schedule somebody to come in to take, you know, hours out of their day to come in for a 5-minute appointment that says you need to go to a physical therapist?
That's right. Right. And, you know, I think your insight is exactly correct. The general population has no idea, has no idea. In fact, I have to train my physical therapists to be able to educate their patients on that. They don't even kind of get it either. So there's a lot of education that needs to happen. And you're right. So access to care is quicker. Of course, the copay that you would have to pay at your doctor's office, plus the doctors, the primary cares especially, are so overburdened right now. Their caseloads are huge. And you're right. They would much prefer to focus on, you know, the next patient who's got, you know, some really more life-threatening issues versus, you know, someone who's got a backache who they're going to send for therapy anyway.
And not to step into the political debate of the complexity of the healthcare system, but it adds I would imagine, a tremendous amount of burden and overhead to the complexity of your accounting, because you got to deal with all the MassHealth, HMOs, PPOs.
Absolutely. You know, we have quite an extensive staff to be able to deal with the insurance, you know, our own billing department and, you know, our front desk staff who manage referrals and, you know, and all those things. It is, it's quite a bit. It's quite a bit of overhead to make that happen. And, you know, one could say that the insurance companies are really designed in order to deny you versus to approve you. So you have to understand how those work. And I educate patients all the time. I say, just because your insurance has the word health in front of it, and I'm sure the health insurance are not going to like me saying this, they do not necessarily have your best health in mind. They're payers. They're right. An insurance company. Right. I'm sure all the people that they answer to, you know, it's the bottom line, it's dollars, you know.
So in the context of, and without getting too deeply into, you know, the discussion around healthcare, you've grown a business in a challenging environment, you know, back to sort of, and you're expanding and you're growing. There must be some success in there somewhere, presumably.
Yeah.
What are some of your takeaways, you know, given that you've done it in a marketplace that is, you know, tremendously challenging and you know, cost containment seems to be the rule as opposed to people going for more services.
Yeah. Well, you know, I have kept the same model, essentially, you know, as far as being able to gain revenue. I haven't changed how long we see our patients for. We don't get into double booking, triple booking, you know, stuff you'll see in other, you know, unfortunately, in other facilities. So
here's a nice pack. I'll be back in 15 minutes.
Correct. It's unethical and it's not proper. And it doesn't drive the debate about how important physical therapy is any further. In fact, it drives it down, drives it backwards. So my philosophy has been, again, still holding true to that. So we're not increasing revenue, so to speak, in that manner, is that continuing to give the best patient care experience will continue to help drive the business. And that's really it. And I've always told people, I said, the day comes if healthcare changes so dramatically that I can no longer do it the way we do it, you know, I'd be happier slinging hash somewhere. It just wouldn't be appealing to me. So as long as we can keep giving the quality care we can and it continues to drive the business forward,
so you know, I think we're valuable. You stuck to your mission all the way along and you haven't allowed the external environment to impact it.
I haven't. I've tried to work with it, you know, just understand it more. And so far it's worked.
Seems like you're a visionary though. You're looking for the aquatics and all the extra programs to really help the patient. So from that perspective, you're kind of looking ahead to see what you can add for value.
I agree. Yeah, exactly. It's diversification in many ways. You know, come September 1, we'll have a women's health only clinic that's going to be solely dedicated to women's health. There are clinics out there that have, that will treat women's health specific conditions. But to have a dedicated clinic solely for that, I think is a huge need. Mm-hmm. I think that'll drive plenty of patients, you know, to us despite the challenging, you know, the challenges in the healthcare environment. So it's that kind of thinking, I think, that's helping us, you know, progress.
Eric, we talked a little before we came on air, but I want to give you the opportunity to give a rundown of some of the specialized services that you provide. And that was another point of differentiation in your practice. So why don't you share with our listeners what those might, some of those are?
Sure. Well, we already mentioned aquatics. I just touched upon women's health. So we treat women's health specific conditions, urinary incontinence, a non-medicinal, non-surgical approach where we use biofeedback, extremely successful for women with incontinence issues. We'll be treating women with lymphedema, which is the swelling that you get after you've had a mastectomy or a lumpectomy in which they remove the lymph nodes if you have had breast cancer. We treat also osteoporosis. We have an osteoporosis program within that, as well as your pelvic pain. So that's a women's health specific program, which again, many people don't know about, and it's really, really unique and very effective. We have a TMJ or TMD program, temporomandibular disorder program. So people with that jaw pain that they get, clicking pain, all that stuff, again, completely non-surgical, non-medicinal approach there. We have a vestibular program. You've heard of people with vertigo. Mm-hmm. So we treat people with vertigo. We know how to do the maneuvers to get people out of that and help them fix that. Post-concussion program. Concussions are a huge, huge issue, very, very, you know, very much on the forefront of medicine right now in sports. So we have a post-concussion program. We have a pediatric program. So we'll see young infants with torticollis issues, kind of that wry neck, and other, you know, infant and childhood, you know, types of issues. And a fall prevention program. Two. I think I got them all.
Wow.
Yeah.
You certainly have a nice list of them. And by all accounts, sound somewhat unique in terms of what's offered out there in the patient setting. So congratulations.
Thank you.
And given what we talked about earlier, where patients have direct access in Massachusetts, if a listener wants to get in touch with you, what's the best place for them to reach out to you? How do they find you?
Well, go right to our website, peaktherapy.com, PEAKTHERAPY. .com. All of our locations and phone numbers are on there. You can contact us directly either via email right from the website or by calling us. And we generally get folks in within 48 hours.
Wonderful. Eric Edelman of Peak Physical Therapy. It's been a pleasure having you on Radio Entrepreneurs. And thank you for your time and wish you continued success in this changing landscape.
Thanks for having me, guys.
And we'll be right back with another segment on Radio Entrepreneurs.